Welcome back to Season 11 of the Neuroscience Meets Social and Emotional Learning podcast, where we connect the science-based evidence behind social and emotional learning and emotional intelligence training for improved well-being, achievement, productivity, and results, using what I saw as the missing link, since we weren't taught this when we were growing up in school, the application of practical neuroscience. I'm Andrea Samadi, an author and an educator with a passion for learning, and launched this podcast 5 years ago with the goal of bringing all the leading experts together in one place to help us to apply this research in our daily lives. On today's episode, number 328, we meet with someone who caught my attention through LinkedIn. He sent me a direct message. He was letting me know he was enjoying the podcast, highlighting that his passion was to help bridge the gap with the latest discoveries in brain science and mental health interventions to underserved populations. He went on to explain how he was doing this, and I was captivated. First, because I still find it difficult to bridge this gap with science that we weren't taught in schools, but come to find out, it's really important for us to understand. All of us, not just as teachers, educators, and members of society, but this understanding is coming to be as close to what oxygen is for our survival. It's of critical importance that we understand this organ that controls everything that we are and everything that we do. And I know what it takes for me to work on grasping this knowledge and breaking it down so that I understand these concepts first, and then work on a way to explain it to others so we can all work on implementing these powerful ideas for change in our lives. I do find this difficult work, but something I'm dedicated to doing. And then while talking with our guest, I come to find out that he's created something to help us with this understanding, a game curated in neuroscience that educates and addresses mental wellness in a way that we can all understand using gamification. Our next guest has a vision of evening out the playing field using neuroscience with a game that teaches economic power specifically towards our underserved populations. I can't wait to see what we can learn from our next guest, D. Alexis Samuels, the founder of Brain Game Learning Systems, FineLitX Global Corporation, and Prosperity Nation, to help us to all open our eyes to new ways we can bridge this gap with making neuroscience more applicable for all of us in our day-to-day lives, especially those in our underserved populations who need it the most. Welcome, Alexis. It is so good to finally meet you.
Thank you, Andrea. It is a wonderful privilege to be here on your neuroscience podcast, something I've been looking forward to.
Oh, me too. This is going to be fun. So let's just start from the beginning. Can you introduce yourself? Who is D. Alexis Samuels?
Well, the story of D, which stands for Dwayne, Alexis Samuels, begins in 1969 as an 11-year-old boy growing up in an underserved community in Brooklyn, New York, surrounded by boundaries, poor, I should say, and dreaming of something better. Now, what's unique is that that school year introduced integration. So I'm kind of dating myself also, going way back to the late 60s. And I was bused to a school district some 20 miles east, which offered better educational opportunities. Yet little did I know, that school district offered work opportunities for credit to finish school. But based on your aptitude and test scores would determine whether or not you would have that benefit. Well, I happened to come in second in the grade and was awarded a job on Wall Street and began working at the ripe young age of 15 years old on Wall Street in banking, finance, and international trade. That's just the beginning of my story.
Wow, that gave me chills just thinking about what I know you've created, because I wonder where it came from, this, the financial literacy side. Well, now I can see the connection, because I'm sure your eyes were open wide working on Wall Street. Can you just talk a little bit about that? Because we're missing financial literacy. We weren't taught it. I definitely was not growing up. It wasn't something that I had to do the work. So tell me that connection. What did you learn from Wall Street?
Well, you know, as fortune would have it, the story kind of continues. 3 years later, that company closed. They were taken over by a union and they couldn't afford to increase the pay scales and all that. But by then, I had learned quite a bit in finance, in banking, and international trade. I had made lots of connections and contacts and friends overseas with our old partners. Well, that moved me to start my own business. That led me to traveling to Spain, to Portugal, to France, to Andorra, the Caribbean, throughout the United States as I represented them on their imports. So that pushed back my boundaries, which started downtown Brooklyn in just an area surrounded by one block. Those are my boundaries growing up in a poor neighborhood, to the globe. So now I was developing all of this experience. I didn't even know what a currency adjustment that was. This was before the EC was formed, in fact. And so I had to learn about all these different currencies and how money worked. And as a young man, I was exposed to all these things. Then fast forward, during the next 15 years, I expanded my curricula vitae to include real estate portfolio management, legal studies. I'm about a 20-something year paralegal also, and also the media. Because of the experience I had acquired, I had my own radio show in the New York City tri-state area, where I would take call-ins from those who were experiencing difficulties. And this being in about the year 2005, you know, the interest rates were high. We would begin to experience an implosion on Wall Street with securities being taken over, failing, banks going out of business. And then there was in 2007, the foreclosure crisis. So I'm on the radio and I'm taking call-ins from a lot of folks that are losing their homes. And I began to realize a common thread between everyone that called in, whether they were blue collar, white collar, doctors, accountants, even lawyers were calling in and asking questions about how to keep their homes. Now, the common thread led to a aha moment, a very exciting aha moment. That common thread was fear. Fear answering the phones, fear of confronting the mortgage bank, fear of losing their homes. And again, they came from every walk of life, every social class, and I wanted to help everyone. Well, that's when I was introduced to neuroscience. Might seem like a wide step or a big step to take. Neuroscience is a big word by itself. But at that point, I remembered a comment that I heard the old Tonight Show talk show host, Johnny Carson, make. And this was on February 7th, 2007, again in the midst of the foreclosure crisis. And I was in the shower. Aha, light bulb went off. He said, people will pay more for entertainment than they will for education.
Oh, true. I've heard that a million times.
I think he might have coined that expression, but he used it in his monologue that evening. So at that point, again, the aha moment, the bright idea, why don't I create a game that teaches financial literacy, serious subjects, and incorporate life skills and socio-emotional learning that could empower, get rid of the fear, and educate at the same time, but make it fun. And try to distribute this and put it on every single household table, den, kitchen table. Then parents could sit there and play with their children, not feel intimidated if they didn't know, because some 85% of children learn financial values from their parents, what they're surrounded by. And if the parents didn't know, they didn't know what to teach the children. If they were not financially literate, then guess what? The household, the entire household is going to be financially illiterate. But if we can provide them with a learning system that's gamified, but that could teach them financial literacy, that could teach them how to raise their credit scores, that could teach them how to buy real estate and manage their real estate, their home, which is in most cases the biggest asset, most valuable asset the average person will ever have. And that's a legacy item too, that should be passed along from generation to generation. If they could also learn law and ethics and what their rights are, then when the telephone rang, they wouldn't fear answering the phone. When the telephone rang, they would know what their rights were with respect to their mortgage, with respect to the loan or the IOU. You know, when you go to a closing, if you've ever purchased a home, I think you probably have, Andrea, the average person goes to that real estate closing with one thing in mind, one thing they want to get out of, and that's the keys to their new home. And then when the attorneys or the bank presents them with that 30-page loan document and that 35-page mortgage document, they're not listening to, they're not really paying attention to all those terms. They don't understand them. But if they could get to know what those requirements are, it empowers them. It's so important. And so I thought that that would be the best way to empower and inspire and to teach. But if it could be done in a tabletop way that incorporates neuroscience, then we could even more deeply embed these concepts in the quality of brains, and then through neuroscience, empower all of our families and our communities to be successful in that way. So when I did more research into it, I realized that what I had in front of me was an example of neuroscience. Many studies show that, and I'll credit one cognitive neuroscience, neuroscientist, John Cornelius. He is the director of Creativity Research Lab at Drexel University in Philadelphia.
Same guy, I gotta just say, because like I'm reading this right now. Is it the guy that wrote this book? John Cornelius, right?
That's him. That's
oh my him. I, like you're talking and my next episode is all on the aha moment. And I've just Yeah. This of course everything is flowing right into place, but I'm thinking this is the author of the book I'm reading right now. So
Eureka Factory. Eureka.
Yeah. Yeah, how you created this, how you're in the shower, you know, this is all the very beginning, the part where you've got to think of, you know, looking and tackling big issues in different ways. Like this is why I knew we were meant to.
Oh, that's amazing.
You know, yeah.
That's not coincidence. No.
We're
on that same path.
Yeah, definitely. So you're talking now, there's so much, like if I even took you back a minute to when you were in your little square of where you lived, the fact you broke out of that square to do what you're doing now is huge, because I've worked at disadvantaged schools in Arizona and they want to know, hey, miss, what's it like when you get on a plane? Because they've never been outside of their square, you know, where they live in and their community, and they live and they work in the same little environment. So when you said that, like to start off with how you left that area and went to Wall Street, that's huge to start off with. Right.
That was my life.
Yeah.
And I credit neuroscience with it, because the mere fact that I was exposed to this industry, you know, through the shower method, if you will. And we can have a conversation about that, because I'm enjoying this experience and learning as I go as well. So that in neuroscience, in the brain, chemicals are released, you know, when that warm water, you know, hits you, it releases chemicals in a relaxed state, which allows you to think more clearly, to be more creative. And that's exactly what I experienced.
Right. That's how this all came about. Like, this is, you used your brain to come up with what you're doing, which is to help everyone understand how this difficult thing called neuroscience really works, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so, you know, when taking that warm shower, some of the research that I've uncovered indicates that that chemical called GABA, or gamma-aminobutyric acid, fills the nervous system and it causes the brain to relax, enabling us to think more creatively. And I didn't even realize it. I thought I was just taking a shower. I was releasing an opportunity that would really pave my pathway in the decades that would follow. So I credit neuroscience and that warm shower with helping me invent my first game, which is called Kid on the Road to Prosperity, which started out as a financial literacy game and now has expanded to some 31 subjects and is distributed in over 25 states throughout the country, in school systems and directly to consumers.
Love it. Yep.
Yeah.
Good. This is good. So have we got the big picture of who you are, like where you started from? Like, I think your biggest break was getting out of your neighborhood and getting into the world. When you started to visit other countries, you're never going to see the same way, right? You're learning currency. Yeah. I think that's where you got into the world. And I look at when things changed for me with what I wanted to do. It was when I left the classroom and I started working for this speaker, and I was traveling, you know, going across the US, not globally. It was just into US and Canada, but my world expanded. I started to see things like, oh, I didn't have to live in one spot. I could live here and look, oh, there's mountains here.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what's over here. And I started to look at social and emotional learning for our students. And I was told, you've got to make this fun and engaging. You don't have a book is not fun and engaging. And how it was explained to me, I don't know if you'd remember this commercial, but you remember that cereal, Life cereal, with that kid Mikey, and he's eating the cereal.
Oh,
remember that? Yeah. I don't know what country.
He'll eat anything. Mikey will eat anything. Right?
Mikey will eat anything. And so they're all the friends are looking to see if Mikey likes the cereal. And the guy that took the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People was one of my friends, Greg Link. I interviewed him on the podcast. And I went and sat at his house and I said, what am I missing with this stuff that I'm trying to do with kids in the school? And he said, well, have you asked someone like Mikey if he likes it? You know, like this commercial. And he's like, that's what you're missing. You're not going to get through to kids unless you've got it from their angle. And that's when I started bringing in other kids and videos, and I was interviewing kids to talk on their term. But you talked exactly like what I was thinking, that, you know, you saw something. It had to be fun with gamification.
Yes.
And trust me, I looked back then at how could I do this in virtual reality? I was looking at everything, trying to teach this stuff. But so Can we go into this? You're the founder of Brain Game Learning Systems, FindLitX Global Corp, and Prosperity Nation. That's a lot of things. I think I have an idea of what the games are, but what are these companies? And then what do they do? And how did you found them all? Let's go there.
Sure. Well, starting with the first company, which is called Brain Game LS. LS stands for Learning Systems. It actually focuses on the research side of our movement, namely neuroscience. Brain Game Learning Systems is designed to really do the research, the R&D in the science world, and to pull out from that opportunities that we can produce or include within games, within curricula. So it curates curriculum using neuroscience and gamification. That's where we do our investments on research. And then there's FindLitX. The word FindLit comes from financial literacy with the X factor for a digital world. So through that company, we partner with school systems. We partner with school districts, individual schools, K-12, undergraduate, universities, in order to bring financial literacy to the student. Now, what's unique here is that, in general, historically, schools did not include personal finance or financial literacy in their curriculum. And yet, upwards of some 25 states now throughout the United States now mandates that high schoolers be introduced to personal finance and be given either full or partial credit toward graduation for taking that course. And so it provided an opportunity for us to introduce an online hybrid platform that teachers could either use in classroom or hybrid or fully offline or online to teach financial literacy. And using what we learned through Brain Game Learning Systems in the way of neuroscience, we incorporate the neuroscience elements inside the interplay, the curriculum, the progress, and of course, gamification as well. So when you look at that platform, you're going to see places where you are rewarded for getting the right answers, or where you can reach a higher level, or you can compete in different respects. So we take various algorithms in gamification and incorporate it within that platform to make it fun, to make it interesting, to make it exciting. And then thirdly, there's Prosperity Nation. Prosperity Nation is our not-for-profit organization. And so through Prosperity Nation 501c3, we outreach to government, to school systems, as well as to community organizations through grants and the like, inviting philanthropists to work with us and to help promote, again, it's all about financial literacy, because when we talk about socio-emotional learning, many don't realize that financial literacy is a significant underpinning of what we are socio-emotionally and socio-economically. We define financial literacy not just as learning how to budget and save, or learning how to invest, but by developing a sense for financial literacy, we begin to realize that it's directly related to what we are mental health-wise. The more debt you have, the more stress you have, the more anxiety you have. And there's a higher percentage of those with mental health illnesses that are financially illiterate. Obesity, cancer, heart disease. All of these things are more prevalent amongst those ones who class as financially illiterate. So when we focus and promote globally through FinLitX Global Corporation financial literacy, our vision is to end poverty, to address poverty. And to do so, not just kind of trying to show people how to invest, because those ones who are poor are typically not in the position to invest. Some of them are not even in a position yet to begin to save significantly that it will change their life. But we find that through a combination of financial literacy and neuroscience, we can actually change behavior. Not only can we teach, but isn't our true goal to change behavior?
It is.
So that their outlook changes. They begin to hope again where they could not hope or dream before about being successful. They begin to eat better food. They're more conscious of nutrition as they kind of take advantage of programs that are available and gradually lift themselves up through the help that's provided through these programs. So that's our vision. That's where the three companies fall. And we're so excited. They're integrated with each other. And we're having a great deal of success because of it. And we're changing lives. That's what it's all about.
Oh, Alexis, I was on your website and I saw, I'm not really good at sports. So I saw these interviewers and they were talking about your programs. What was it, basketball or what? Do you know who they were? They were interviewers and there was a sports team in the background. I couldn't tell you what it was, but I was listening to them and what they were saying. And they were talking about the fact that when you become financially literate, like things are easier, life becomes easier because let's just say you get everything, your fridge breaks, you get a speeding ticket, you can look after these things without letting it bother you. But when you don't have the funds, that's when things start going sideways, right? That was the way, and they were pointing everyone towards your website. What am I remembering from your website?
Believe it or not, that interview took place back in 2016.
Oh, wow.
And that was the NBA analyst, the key and chief NBA analyst on the TNT network. And that was after a special one-hour show that preceded the start of the 2016-2017 NBA season. Now, you may think back to what was going on then, yet in the NFL. There was a player in the NFL football league that took a knee. His name was Colin Kaepernick. And he was essentially protesting certain rules or things that were going on in the National Football League with respect to Black coaches or Black players, and whether or not he would pledge allegiance to the flag. It became political, but it was a major issue, and the NFL owners had taken a position. That forced the NBA to also take a position, or to at least have a serious public discussion about it. So there was a one-hour special on TV, the TNT network, on a Thursday evening, and they interviewed people from all walks of life, public figures, and many sports figures from both the NFL, active and retired, the NBA active and retired. And then it was time for a wrap-up. And so these four NBA analysts, Shaquille O'Neal, Ernie Johnson, Charles Barkley, and Kenny Smith, were invited to give their opinion and their recommendation as to how we address these problems. And Ernie Johnson, I can see it in my mind, turned to Kenny Smith and said, "Kenny, why don't you go first?" And Kenny went ahead and explained, very much like what you just presented, that it's important, this matter of financial literacy, because if you get a fine, a speeding ticket, and you don't have the money to pay it, you might end up having to do 30 days in jail. I think he said something like that. But it all kind of rests upon economic power. If you are empowered economically, then you can move in different circles. You can acquire different things. And that's where that financial literacy empowerment comes in again. And so we were happy and proud that Mr. Smith saw the value in what our not-for-profit was doing, Prosperity Nation. And he gave us a national endorsement in front of all those viewers and recommended our game, our learning system, as a way to educate and empower consumers on a individual basis in their families, on their kitchen tables. We all need to learn. And if we learn, the knowledge starts first, then we can become empowered to do based upon what we know. And so we were really humbled and privileged and surprised that he would take the time to make that public announcement. That was exciting.
That was neat. I saw that and caught my eye. And you know, just to give you credit for all you've done here, all you've built. And even when we first met and we were talking, I know the answer to the next question, but I want you to explain it because it was very clear that you had a background in neuroscience. And I wanted to know more when we were communicating about it. But can you just tell me the science and the research, what institutions you've worked with? Where did it all come from? Because we were not taught this. We stumbled into it in some aha moment in the shower, or, you know, I was pushed this way too. This does not come easy or naturally to me. So where have you studied?
Well, my formal studies were only led by a desire to accomplish something. So when I needed to know something more in order to obtain a license to be able to engage in helping people, I would go to school for that. And I spent some time at New York University to become licensed in a few areas of health, and that's healthcare administration, along with life insurance and things of that sort. When I wanted to learn more about real estate, so I went to real estate school and acquired a license to engage in that community on a number of different levels. There was one time I also maintained my own online bank as well. So I had to get licensing. So I had to go to school for that and qualify there. But when it comes to neuroscience, I've worked with various private research groups. I have partnered on some levels with NYU, New York University. And recently, late last year, we were invited by Notre Dame University to partner with them in very, very deep research studies in order to alleviate poverty on a global basis. And so we've been having conversations with them and organizing that. It's a huge undertaking. And what's behind that is a statistic that many may not know. But when it comes to poverty, there literally are thousands of programs around the world that are offered, some large, but most very, very small. And yet, the numbers of those suffering around the world in poverty continues to grow. And so they have done some research, that is Notre Dame, and realized that upwards of 95% of those programs are ineffective. So what they're doing is partnering with organizations, and I'm happy to say what ours is one of them, to do research studies and double-blind research case studies in order to analyze A versus B and figure out what aspect of the program that's being offered is producing the greatest results, behavioral change that must be measured and proven through the research study over a period of time. So we're going for a program that's going to last upwards of 3 to 5 years with them. Now, once we get that data out of our systems, we can then continue to refine, and Notre Dame will write a research paper on it, and then attract philanthropists to the table to scale it so that it's then to be scaled nationwide and then globally. The goal being to attack poverty. Now, they're partnering with us because we have a financial literacy program that focuses on neuroscience and the social-emotional elements of financial illiteracy. And another statistic here, the traditional way in which financial literacy is taught is you'll have a banker come to the school or to the community diner or an insurance agent, and they'll, you know, speak to you for a few hours, or you might join a course, or you might even have one in your school. But studies show that while those ones who engage with those types of curriculum benefit immediately, that is for the first week or two, over the next 24 months, the value and the application of what they've learned trails off, so that they're basically back to zero at the end of 24 months. Introduction, neuroscience. By incorporating neuroscience, recognizing the elasticity, neuroplasty of the brain, and how the science community used to feel that basically when you got to about age 5, everything stopped, you were at your capacity. And yet, in more recent decades, it's been revealed through reliable study that we can continue to learn and increase our capacity and create new neural pathways and get rid of the bad and replace it with the good throughout life. And so by incorporating these algorithms, our mission is to change lives, remap the brains, and do it in such a way where it's sustainable. It's been said that if you do anything using these methods 20 to 30 times, it can become a habit. So we incorporate repetition, you know, within our programs and follow up and support systems even after the course is over, in order to make certain that those students are really engaged. And we're attracting a lot of attention. If you'd like for me to go further, I can go into who else is responding to this, or we can keep that to a later question.
Yeah, who is? Anybody that I would know, any names? Like you mentioned the author of the Eureka Factor. Who else is out there? And I also, I have to ask, because I want to know, what aspects of neuroscience have you connected to financial literacy? I just wonder, because I haven't seen the game, I don't know, mm-hmm. what parts of the brain have you tied into it? And yeah, who's responding?
Well, wonderful, wonderful. Let me answer the question about what aspects of neuroscience are we engaged with. We recognize the wonderful benefit of dopamine. Dopamine is that chemical in our brains that's responsible for joy and happiness and fulfillment, and that's secreted when we engage in various activities that brings us those emotional responses. And so when it comes to our games and our curriculum, we include rewards that create elation. We include affirmations that, again, creates a sense of fulfillment. We incorporate different levels of competition and Q&A that's directly related and always rewarded when they receive the correct answer. So it's a constant interplay, relational learning that's rewarded for making the correct decisions. In fact, there are even occasions throughout the game where when you achieve certain levels, either the other players reward you by giving you money or cash, virtual cash, or getting up and dancing.
Cool.
And so.
Oh, that's cool.
It's exciting. In addition to that, each of these games includes upwards of 25 bonuses. So one bonus could be a high school diploma that's worth $25,000. Another bonus could be an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree or a associate. What was I about to say? A PhD, a doctorate, a trip around the world worth $75,000, a new car, an IPO, a business grant. Now, imagine you are in an underserved community. You never thought about starting a business, so never thought you would be worth it. You never thought you could own a $500 pair of shoes and a handbag. You never thought you could get your high school diploma, much less a bachelor's degree or a doctorate. And yet, as you're engaging in this life skill building game, just as a bonus for engaging with the game and landing on the right square, and you pick from a deck, you might end up with a special reward. And what's really exciting to us is when we see young folks pick a card and they answer a question correctly, or they receive one of these surprise bonuses, it creates such excitement on their part. Now, I'll give you an actual experience. In the New York City Department of Education, there is a classroom made up of students that live in shelters throughout the city. And after school, they travel to this classroom where they play our game, RTP, Get on the Road to Prosperity. And so imagine six or eight, roughly 13, 14-year-olds sitting around. They're all playing this game. They are exposed now to what it feels like to own a home. But before, in this game, you can own one, you first have to, starting with a 680 credit score, answer a couple of questions correctly before you can become earn a 690 credit score and qualify to buy a home in suburbia. Now, if your credit score through this interplay increases to 720, you can buy a more expensive home in Metropolis. And if your credit score goes up to a 760 and you have at least 20% in your bank balance as a deposit toward your home, then you can move into Utopia. Now, some of it's fanciful and it's a game, but it's a virtual way to introduce these adult decisions that they have to make. And yet, while they're playing, they also have to be able to balance their budget and have enough at the end of the year, one trip around the board, to pay their mortgage, to pay the utility bills, to have enough in the event of a divorce to take 50% of their assets and give it to their spouse. We had one young player who got a divorce twice, and he said, I never even wanted to get married. but by creating in a very fun way these life's experiences, it reduces the fear. It naturalizes the goal. Yeah, I can do this. We have some of these shelter students that I referred to before that have actually begun to cry while they were playing because it was the first time they ever imagined themselves owning a home or hoping and dreaming about something better the very, very first time. So that's how we incorporate the neuroscience into it. Let's release some dopamine here. And then using that, let's reinforce what they've learned so that those new neural pathways become more embedded, more deeply embedded. And through the repetition, it becomes a way of life.
Got it. No, this is good. It's almost like you, when you left your square area and went out into the world, you started mm-hmm. building your neural pathways. Now you're just doing the same for others, right?
Yes. Yes.
And is it a board game? I'm just trying to visualize it.
Yeah, it's a board game that contains 52 squares, if you will, but it kind of winds you around four different neighborhoods wherein you land on different life's experiences. And it might be pay your latte bill, or you got a speeding ticket, or you just got engaged or just got married, and so you get gifts from everybody else that's playing. There are consequences also for making the wrong decisions. So the credit score will go down, or they have to give cash. So every different encounter is a learning opportunity that's either rewarded or there's a consequence of a more negative nature. And in each decision, there's some dopamine release. There's some reaction. And most of it's happiness and elation and excitement and progress. Tremendous amount of progress. So we needed a way to teach all of these lessons in a fun and engaging way that changes behavior. One young man, after he landed on divorce twice, and this boy was about maybe 16, 17, 18 years old, he decided he was never going to get married. That may be a harsh reaction, but he also mentioned if he ever did get married, he would get a prenuptial agreement. So how many different 13 and 14 year olds or 15 year olds do you know that sit around talking about prenuptial agreements?
Right.
So it starts a conversation at the very least.
Exactly. Well, this is good. And you know, I mostly deal with interviews that the person has written a book. And when we were talking, I didn't even think about it. It wasn't even a thought. Have you written a book? That's not what I wanted to know. I wanted to know how you've applied neuroscience to help further the world. And you're doing it in a way that I never even comprehended before we met. But, you know, was this intentional for you? You've got enough knowledge here to write a book, but you're doing it with games.
Well, the other reality is that it's easier to get kids to play games than to read a book. But that does not preclude us from writing a book. In fact, my first book is scheduled to be released this coming fall. Yeah. And unless there are any changes, it's called The Black Brain: Neuroscience Breakthroughs to End the Poverty Mindset, Generational Decline, and Achieve Financial Freedom.
Love it. And I know our audience will love it too. It's a big topic right now.
It is. It's a very important topic. It's one that everyone needs to get in touch with. What also amazed me about the industry of neuroscience is that we can put a man on the moon. We can explore the ocean depths. And all of those are amazing achievements. But each of us carries something that most people know little about. And that's our brains. And yet, it's the most important vessel that we have in our bodies. It controls everything. And I think we're paying more attention to it now because around the world, we're seeing more mental illness, more stress, more anxiety. So people are wondering, what's going on in my brain? And yet the more we research it and study it, I think the more we begin to realize there are things that can be done to improve our individual lots in life and that for our family. But it first starts with understanding what we are, what we have, how it works, How many know that there are things called synapses and neurons? And when you repeat the same things over and over again, you can create new pathways. You're not stuck. We're never stuck. And so that's what I'm trying to get out to our communities. And I thought that being an African American, I could be a good spokesperson and conduit for that community. But it's something that we all need. We all need to talk it up. And I'd like to see more attention given in general to neuroscience.
I agree. And this brings me right back. You said none of us are stuck. And that was the whole beginning of the Eureka Factor. It's like the diagram that I'm working on for my insight episode that I'm doing after this. I'm going to tie that back to this. But it had a diagram of someone stuck with an idea, and they have their head down, and then there's a brick wall. They don't know how to get through that brick wall. But none of us are stuck. We just have to find a way to maybe think through things differently. You thought this through in the shower. Anyone who's come up with an idea, whether, you know, for me, sometimes it's through the dream world. I have aha insights in the middle of the night. And I'm like, what was that? Write it down.
You know,
lots of different ways for us to have insights and aha moments, but none of us are stuck. And I love how you're representing the underrepresented. I always look in the classroom, not at the ones that were talking all the time. And, you know, it was the ones that sat back that I knew that they had potential, but something was holding them back. I don't know what it could have been. And you've identified your niche that you want to represent and be a spokesperson for. And I agree. I think that the voice needs to be heard for the underrepresented that could flourish and take off if they can get outside of their square box.
Yes.
I love this.
And thank you for that. And if I could just mention too, I came from a single parent household. And so there are emotional barriers that have to be addressed there. Sometimes when you look at that child sitting in the back of a classroom, do we ask ourselves, what's going on at home? Did they have breakfast that morning? Did they experience an argument inside the household, or were they afraid to walk out their front door? Whatever it might be, there could be emotional challenges going on that can be addressed more effectively through SEL, socio-emotional learning. And if we come up with tools that enable that youth to overcome some of those barriers, then we're going to see more brilliant professors, more brilliant entrepreneurs, artists, astronauts. They're there. But there are so many socioeconomic and demographic and challenges that we're facing more now than ever before. So coming up with unique tools that are embedded in neuroscience, I believe, is the answer.
So where can people learn more about your games, your online curriculum, everything we've been talking about? Where do people go?
Well, to learn more about the games, or possibly even acquire one, you can go to our website, which is playrtp.com. Playrtp.com. To perhaps consider partnering with us in offering a financial literacy course embedded with gamification and neuroscience to your students or community, you can go to our website, finlitx.com. That's finlitx.com. Or if one wants to purchase shares of our global corporation, we're an ed tech firm, and we're expanding incredibly fast. You can go to that same website, FindLitX, finlitx.com and click on the button Invest in FinlitX. That'll take you directly over to our investment broker, which is called Net Capital, that's selling shares of our corporation, which pays dividends and which is a pre-IPO. We are planning to go public within probably 24, 30 months. And investors get a very, very big return, you know, by doing that. So we're excited to be involved in an industry that's an impact industry that's changing lives. And the technology involved using AI, gamification, and neuroscience is all leading edge. And so it's very exciting. I enjoy getting up and going to work every day. Every day.
Alexis, I want to thank you so much for reaching out to me like you did. You stood out from the crowd. You offered ways to help me take my understanding of this complex topic to greater heights. So I want to thank you so much for connecting with me and for meeting with me today. I'm so grateful to have had this time with you today.
Andrea, it's a humbling privilege to be invited onto your platform. And I want to commend you also for the many years that you've invested your time and resources in introducing to everyone a topic that isn't easy to understand, but is so, so important, and I'm sure is changing lives. I'm sure you've changed thousands of lives up through the years. And, you know, so I applaud you for that very much. And thank you again for inviting me onto your podcast.
Appreciate you. This has been wonderful. And I'll put all the links for people to connect with you. I've got your LinkedIn. I've got your website. Are there other places for people to reach you? What's the best way?
I would say the website, finlitx.com. Oh, but as far as communication, email, the email address, social@finlitx.com. SOCIAL, social@finlitx.com, will come directly into my department, and then we can reply immediately. Looking forward to partnering with everyone that would like to promote financial literacy and neuroscience in these ways for a better life. That's what it's all about, for our families. Stop the generational decline. We have the tools to stop it. But we have to get active. We have to get engaged. And we're here to partner with you on a large scale or on an individual family basis in order to make that happen.
Love it. Thanks so much for your time. This has been so eye-opening and enlightening.
Thank you again, Andrea. Looking forward to seeing you in the near future and continuing to promote.
Absolutely. And the next episode will be on insights, tying right back to this episode.
I'm looking forward to reading that book, The Eureka Factor.
Awesome. That's exciting. Yep. Have a wonderful night.
Okay, you too. Thanks so much.
If you're enjoying the Neuroscience Meets Social and Emotional Learning podcast, please don't forget to subscribe so you'll stay up to date with our new episode. While you're there, please feel free to give us a review or a 5-star rating, as it helps others find us. For more information on our programs, books, and tools for schools and the workplace, visit us at www.achieveit360.com.